doing it. So you weren't even here. If something had happened. We have two work session items. The first is expanding the charge of the Natural Areas Bond Performance Oversight Committee. Come on.
Council President Hughes, Representative Council, thanks for having us here today. We are planning to come before you next month with a recommendation to change the charter of the Natural Areas Bond Program Performance Oversight Committee. There are a couple of reasons for this. One of the main ones is when you went and you were checking on the code. The code actually calls for the committee to dissolve as of July 1st, 2017, because the original plan was that the work would be done at that point. We're not done. We have more work to do. We think we need to keep the committee around. And there are a couple other changes we think are important as well. Heather has been working with the Office of the Metro Attorney to prepare the update of the code, and she can talk to the details.
Well, I think you'll recall the committee was established in 2007 after the passage of the bond measure in 2006. The bond language that the Metro Council referred to voters actually required Metro to have these oversight committee. And in the 2013 local action levy, the explanatory statement, which is part of our submittal to voters, also require us to create an oversight function for the capital projects funded with the levy, the new levy, with those dollars from the 5 years. So in an attempt to be efficient with staff time and also not create a new committee to provide oversight for capital projects, we thought it made sense to just expand the scope of the committee's duties for the bond measure to include oversight of these capital-related funds. And so with Hope and I have been working on this updating the mechanics of how to do that, which does require an ordinance because those committees, that committee, the bond committee, is established by ordinance in the Metro Code. Upon reviewing it, we also identified that we're able to eliminate the requirement of having a capital grant review committee now, because we have awarded all of those funds, the council has awarded all of those funds, and there is language in terms that you'll see that does stipulate that if for some reason any of the funds are unexpended, the council would have the right to award those funds to another project. So I think it's somewhat housekeeping just to reflect the time 10 years later, but it does pick up this additional requirement that we made ourselves to voters for that additional accountability for the levy funds.
Okay. Questions? Go ahead, Cheryl.
So, as you have here, this committee will be dissolved and then reformed. So, do you expect that you'll, what kind of expertise do you see that you will want or need to add to the new committee? I assume that some of the people that are there will continue, but I would assume also that you might want to consider adding expertise in other areas. Is that right? Or?
Yeah, the committee requirements for the expertise have been primarily focused on sort of professions and technical backgrounds in some of the areas of land acquisition and land management. I think we would perhaps want to expand that to include a little bit more expertise related to capital development and park planning. But we have always had a fairly broad membership on the oversight committee that covered a lot of different skill sets, and I think we would want to continue to do that as well.
I would just add that the the language in the code around the desired qualifications for committee members. It currently is pretty broad. It covers the areas Heather mentioned, as well as real estate experience, finance experience, public finance experience, budgeting experience. So we have a, kind of already a very broad set of qualifications. And we've been actively recruiting new members, and when after the presumptively the council approves the change to the code, we have several new members who've expressed interest, and some of the people that we've reached out to recruit do have more experience on capital projects, we think will be great additions to the committee.
I had the opportunity to participate on the Organizing Bond Citizens Oversight Committee, and I just have you looked at that committee and the role it plays and kind of compared and made you reflect on what about this committee, because I, you know, because that's, of course, their focus is capital projects. Yeah.
And we've actually worked with the Zoo Bond Program staff on their capital reporting because we recognize that they kind of set the standard for excellence in the agency on that. And we try to replicate that as much as possible, given that our projects are a little bit different, but definitely model some of what we do based on their work.
Yeah, they're very prescriptive, obviously. They have a very short timeline to keep these costs under control. Thank you.
Other questions?
We're easy.
Guess not. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the RFP process for CMCGC contract for the Phase 1 Riverwalk project.
Helping to inform about why we think that CMGC, Construction Management, General Contracting option or method is the best approach for this project. So briefly, I would like to provide a bit of background on the project, cover some precedent projects that Metro has been involved in, and what our proposal is moving forward. I'll present the rationale for how we would approach post-evaluation on the project. We will be back in front of you on June 1st with a formal recommendation at that time. So September 2014 was a pretty good month for the project. This was when the four partner agencies formed a partnership as well as the Friends Group to support the Luwak development. In July 2016, an intergovernmental agreement formally established the partners on the project, and those are, again, Clackamas County, the City of Oregon City, Metro, and the State of Oregon. From that point, back in February of 2015, to present, we have been working and involved in the Riverwalk design and community engagement process. We are on schedule to unveil the Riverwalk design at a community event at OMSI on June 3rd. The design is expected to be finalized, and at the same time, we will have a phase one project identified. Which would include demolition and construction of access and a false viewing location. The Riverwalk master plan and land use approval will be coming back to Metro Council in later this fall, but we'll be beginning permitting as early as July of this year in 2017, which we think will take approximately 12 months to get through. That puts us at a phase one construction project beginning in the summer of 2018. With that completion, I have a date range there of 2020 to 2022, and I'll explain that on the next slide. The effort represents the responsible expenditure of funds contemplated in the IGA. We have $5 million from Metro Natural Areas Bond. We have $12.5 million from the State of Oregon. $8 million with future private fundraising from our Friends Group. And $1.2 million approximately from Oregon City, Clackamas County, and the property owner. The state money, the $12.5 million, needs to be responsibly spent in the deadline of 2020. Now, that date range of 2022 is dependent on how successful the Friends Group is on securing additional credit, which would extend our schedule by a couple years. So the primary goal of the project is to design and construct a world-class riverwalk on a highly complex, unique, and challenging site. Based on our direct experience with previous Metro projects, with design, construction, and funding, it is our belief that bringing a contractor on board early in the design conversations regarding demolition and deconstruction, construction feasibility, cost estimating, it will provide a better end product with fewer cost overruns, change orders, and hopefully schedule delays. This is a little sneak peek in case you haven't had a briefing yet. But the partners have since directed the team to prepare a design for the Riverwalk that will serve as a vehicle to pursue the project's four core values. We have healthy habitat, public access, historic and cultural interpretation, and then the last one being economic redevelopment. Metro support for alternative contracting opportunities include the Elephant Lands, the Oregon Convention Center Plaza, polar bear habitat and primate habitat, and the recently completed education center. For this project, the proposed alternative procurement method would be to secure a construction contractor through the competitive request for proposal, an RFP, which would look at cost, experience, and qualification, rather than an RFB, a request for bid, which would look solely at awarding a contract based on the lowest bid price. We believe this alternative approach would create increased collaboration, ownership, and cost control, which would not only be beneficial to Metro, but as also the public. As part of your package, you should have received a draft staff report, resolution, and findings, which would have greater detail that talks about the specialized nature of this project. We are also working with Bobby Schuster, our procurement manager, who believes also that the RFP process will be more beneficial to this project instead of the RFP process. And another note is, we working with Gabi, we will be also talking to the Metro's DEI team as well to ensure that we are able to integrate the COVID qualifications into the RFP. So we have a very technical site. The construction of the Riverwalk, regardless of what phase one actually looks like, will require a pretty specialized expertise in demolition and deconstruction. And in order to provide a design that meets the four core values, the site is industrial, and I like this photo because it kind of shows you how complex it is, with the expansion of industry and how it's built up over time on top of itself and the river. And recognizing the uniqueness and the complexity, as well as the state funding deadlines, we recommend that a CMGC process is for phase one. And the list of bullet points here would really help provide Metro the expertise in these areas. So I'll just read them: pre-construction, demolition and deconstruction, cost estimating, value engineering, constructability review, scheduling of activities, construction coordination and supervision, procurement, as well as safety. If we are allowed to utilize this alternative contracting method, we would evaluate the project by documenting the actual project cost as compared to the original estimates, the amount of any guaranteed maximum price, the number of project change orders that would be issued by the contracting agency, a narrative description of successes and failures during the design, engineering, and construction, and then lastly, an objective assessment of the use of the alternative procurement process as compared to the findings. So that's the gist of the presentation. So for these reasons, we really do believe that CMGC would be the right approach for this project. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll be back in front of council on June 1st for a formal recommendation. Is there any questions from you all today?
Questions?
I fully support this approach. A really, really complicated site. But one of the questions I have is, I know we can only do a CMGC contract on the amount of money we have in hand. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say, when we get the $8 million or more, $40 million being my target, for private support, do we need to do then another CMGC contract, or would we pick another? How would we expand the project? What's the process then if we get that money, or am I too far out ahead of you?
I think the way that we would perhaps structure it is that this additional funding would be applied for the project via ad alternates. And so that we would have those kind of hopefully identified, but then it wouldn't be wrapped into the $12.5 million.
But would we then go back, maybe this is more information than I need, but would we go back and do another CMGC contract, or just add it to the existing contract? How does that sort of thing work? I don't know that we've done one like this where we hope to add money
Yeah.
This is a Brian question.
Yeah. Add alternates.
Just explain the add alternates.
So the add alternates would be something that we might bring up to like 30% level design.
Okay.
And then we would put those on hold.
Okay.
Until we have the funding to actually finish the design and construction.
Okay.
So it would be like a specific element or area. I guess it hasn't been decided or defined yet.
Okay.
Councilor Stacey?
I don't really have a question. I just, having seen the presentation, maybe prematurely compared to some of my colleagues, of the design, it's kind of clear that when you're peeling back parts of existing buildings, and you're trying to preserve the basalt block foundation of a very old building or two, when you're trying to create habitat along the way, there's a lot of different moving parts. And the task of protecting the public interest in our pocketbooks by being able to detail sufficiently all the things we might run into in the construction process. It boggles my mind. Maybe there are engineers and designers who would be bolder, but not with our money. I wouldn't want that to happen. So I don't, this is not the time for deliberation, but I can help some of that.
That's credit.
Well, I'm one of those that haven't been briefed, so excuse me if I'm asking questions that I might learn information later. So where is the Friends Group on the fundraising? Are they halfway along? So is there part of the money still to raise?
Oh, yeah.
Is that 8 million?
Oh, yeah.
You want me to answer that one?
Yes, please.
Well, so we currently have the money to build the phase one, meaning Metro, with state and Metro dollars. The Friends Group has not raised any money other than operating costs so far. We will be submitting tomorrow an application for a $5 million grant that we have some confidence we'll get. And that money will then be used partly to create capacity of the organization, because we don't even have a full-time staff. We have right now a part-time, we just changed her from being a consultant to a part-time employee, Shelley Perini, who has led a lot of financial campaign work at the community college and in Clackamas County. So the first thing we need to do, we had a initial feasibility report said, yeah, first you need to actually hire staff. So our first efforts will be to create that capacity, and thanks to Metro and the county and Oregon City, we do have a base level of funding. And hopefully the initial grant money that we get will help pay for that and start the whatever we say are the alternate add-ons to the Riverwalk. So right now we have about $180,000 in the bank, with the hope of $5 million, and we should hear about that $5 million in 2 months, within the next 2 months. And we have we're having a fairly significant event just before the public viewing. We have an invitation-only viewing to a number of people that we think can help us raise the match for that $5 million. Some of the big-time fundraisers and philanthropists in town. And thank you for those of you who contributed names. We've reached out to all those people. There's just a huge amount of regional support. Whether that translates into millions of dollars, we'll find out very soon, hopefully. Does that help?
I think so, a little bit, I think. May I continue? So, I, of course, I sure support this process. We've used this before. My experience working with the Zubon Citizens Oversight Committee, I see how successful it is. So the work that's being planned is only going to be based on the money that we have in hand right now with the state's match. And so the design is allows that as money comes in, we can add all these other projects. That's kind of how this is going to work.
Any others? Other questions?
Yeah.
Did you have something from us that you wanted, or just smile and
smile.
Go forth?
Maybe we'll be back on June 1st for a resolution.
This is an opportunity to express any concerns we might have or questions we have.
And everybody remember June 3rd, 1 to 5, at OMSI is our big reveal, the public reveal party. So you are all welcome.
I think most of us have worked with projects in the past that have been done this way and understand the circumstances under which you do it. And any of us who have done that would look at this project and go, oh, this is exactly the kind of project that this whole process was designed for. Because it is, it's not your simple have somebody come in and give us a bid on what they would do for us, because it's what they would do for us that we want to have some control over, and that's going to determine what it's going to cost. And so this is a perfect opportunity for us to have this kind of competition and still have the public held accountable, or have us be accountable to the public for how we spend the money that we've got. It's a good deal. Go do it.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Did counselors discover anything while they're in between meetings? Or?
I found the remaining cookies.
More cookies?
In the chief's office. But, okay. She restocked the report.
And by chief's staff,
so she's restocked. Yes.
And if not, I think we have reached the end of our work.